everybody. I didn't know everybody was going to be here tonight. I thought it was just going to be about two or three, and I'm glad to see each and every one of you. I'm assuming this mic is working. We have had a pretty hot week. It seems like when you get busy, you really get busy a lot. And so we're limping without a technician, and so between Daniel and I, we're just working double time to get things done. We bring you greetings from New Covenant Church of God. That's the church that I go to in Ayemont, Louisiana. I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's a church that's, we got a great pastor over there, Pastor Isaiah Pibinow. Now, he's a big man. He works out with weights, I know, because I work out with him at 5 o'clock every morning. He's pumping about 350, 400 pounds and climbing up to more. But he's a big, stout guy, big heart. And because of his leadership, our little church was just like this. It's growing. It hasn't had any growth like that in 100 years since this church was founded. And by the way, it was a church of God. It was the first church of God that was in the state of Louisiana, and they set it over in Kentwood, Louisiana. And the building crumbled because of maintenance problems, and so they moved it to Roseland, Louisiana, which is near us. So this little church is growing. We got youth that are coming. We take them all, man, tattoos, you know, whatever it is. You know, funky hairstyles. We don't care. We love them. You know, we want all the drunkards. We want all the dope heads. We want all the people that are down and out. We want those kind of people. And we want to make first-class citizens out of them and let them go out and do things and change this world. And let me tell you, they do it. They do it. There's hope for them. There's hope for this for a lot of the people. I mean, you might see a drunkard that's been a drunkard out there for 5 years, standing on the street corner, can't even find his way back home. And that's the kind of people that God is touching. That's the kind of people that God is changing. And they're bringing other people with them to salvation. I just want to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to share a little bit with you about the trip to Israel. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about a subject matter that I guarantee you will change your life. You will enjoy it. You will walk it out. You will live it if you follow what the Word of God says about it, because there's all kinds of blessings just waiting to be poured out upon you if we're obedient to follow through what the Word of God says. Okay? Now, we had a wonderful trip to Israel. I'll tell you a little bit more about that as I get into the message here. But the thing is this. It's not a vacation. You go there, and we were riding. Seemed like we was up in the air forever for about 14 hours. Until we finally got there. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, it sure would be nice. I can't wait to get into my hotel room. But no, no. As soon as you get there, your tour is about to begin. That's right. You're putting on your marching shoes. You're going up mountains and rocky terrain. Your tour has just started, and you're going to learn some things. And it's hot over there. And so we're seeing all kinds of things. And there was a church of God that actually had a church station right there in Israel. One of the reasons why I wanted to go to Israel was because I wanted to see what the church of God was doing in Israel. And nobody knew anything about it. We're driving, we're riding in a bus, and nobody could tell us where this church was. And so on the second day, we're going to a place called Masada. It's out in the desert place. It's a place where King Herod had built one of his forts because nobody liked him. He kind of had a little island out there on top of a mountain. We went out there to see this great work. And while we were there, we were waiting to get on the trolley car that took us up on the top of the mountain. There was this couple that came up to us because my wife was wearing a Church of God church. And they asked, well, what kind of church is that? Is that Church of God of Cleveland, or is that another Church of God? And my wife said, well, that's Church of God of Cleveland. And they said, well, that's us. We have a church right here in Israel that we're starting over there, and we're fixing up the building now. So we've been looking for you. Now, isn't it amazing how God's got to get you out to a desert place before he's going to tell you what you're looking for? Yeah. And so I'm just going to tell you that God does some awful and almost unrealistic things and ridiculous things that he does in your life. If you're looking for it, it's going to be there. And people are going to call you weird. They're going to call you, you know, they're going to be trying to figure it out. But you see, if God is in your life and if God is in your heart, there's going to be strange things, wonderful things that will happen to you. Amen? I want to talk to you a little bit about giving. Now, I know that some of you folks think that I'm here to take up a collection. I didn't come here for a paycheck. I have a business. I work for a living, and I'm very glad that, you know, that I have something to do. But the church is losing out. And you see, when you start talking about giving, about half the people start turning off the preacher right here, right now. They just, I don't want to hear any more about it. I can't afford it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to have anything that, you know, this preacher, all he wants is my money. No, I don't want your money, but I want you to have some money. I want you to be blessed by God. And so if you've got your Bibles, I don't know if you brought them with you or not, but if you did, I want you to look at some things, and I'm going to read it to you. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to minister this to you because this is a gift of God to you. This is what God wants to do in you and through you. And if you follow these instructions by the Word of God, I'm going to tell you right now, church, you'll never lack any good thing. Everything you need will be provided. And more than likely, if you're the kind of person that's a giver and you are a sower and a reaping kind of person, I'm going to tell you something. You'll have more than enough to give away. You'll be looking for some place to sow your seed. And so I like to refer to giving as seed because there's a lot of it that God wants to see us do. Now, you know, I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you ever thought about it. But if I held up a coin, which I don't happen to have in my, let's just say this is a seed in my hand right here. Let's just say this is a corn seed. How many seeds is in that corn? Can anybody tell me? How many seeds is in that corn? The answer is it's endless. Because when it's sown and you reap ear of corn, and it's sown and you reap several ears of corn, and when it's sown you have a whole crop, and when it's sown again, then you have more than enough to give to other people, other ministries, whatever it is, because that seed, if it's sown, and if it's in your hand and you have the power to do something about it, I want to tell you that God is going to bless you because it's all his anyway. And if he can trust you with what is his, then more is going to be added to you. That's how it works, folks. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a Donald Trump or you're going to be rich overnight. But I'll tell you what, if you do just a little bit at a time, over time, and times and seasons come around, that crop just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, there are generous people. Generous people aren't necessarily faithful to God. But faithful people are always generous. They're always generous. I'm going to read a scripture to you. If you have your Bibles, look with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to see a blessing here. And I want to make sure that you get this. Proverbs chapter 11, and let's look at verse 24 and 25. It says, this is what it says. It says, there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul, that is the generous soul, shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Did you get that? Did you understand that? That is some directions of wisdom for us today. Let me give it to you in a new living translation. It says, it is possible to give freely and become more wealthy. How many of you like to be more wealthy? I know I do. It's possible for you to be more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. Think about it. That's pretty hard medicine, isn't it? But it's good stuff. The generous prosper and are satisfied. Now, I want to tell you what. Take a look at this old guy here. I'm satisfied. I'm a walking example of my wife's cooking. I eat good every day. There's some times that I just got to, honey, I love them red beans and rice. Honey, I love that fried chicken. I love that casserole that you do. But I just can't eat it right now because I'm still full from the last meal you gave me. So I am blessed. And I tell her so much how much I appreciate her and love her. So the generous shall prosper and are satisfied. And those who refresh others themselves will be refreshed. I want to challenge you something. This is your personal walk with God. This is your personal decision, whatever it is that you have to make. I want to challenge you to just try it. And you don't have to give everything you have away. Just try it. If you're a tithe-paying person and you pay tithe on your income, you're an honest man. But if you want to kind of step out just a little bit more, just a little bit more. I mean, you don't have to go broke over it. Just step out a little bit more. God is going to honor that. It may not happen the next day. It might happen next week. It might happen next year. But God is going to honor because I'm going to tell you right here now, you cannot, you will not be able to outgive God. I dare you to try. I dare you to try that. And this is a blessing that God has for you because it's seed and harvest time when you sow and reap things. And God wants you to reap good things. But he wants to be able to trust you with the substance that you have. Well, you know, I hear people say, well, I just can't afford it. I got to pay this, I got to pay that, and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. You're looking at a person who owed so much money, he was having to borrow money to pay on the interest that he already owed on. When I got saved, a week later, reality hit. A Baptist preacher came in my office, and I asked him, what does a man have to do to get right with God? And he said, pray this prayer with me. And he prayed, and I accepted Jesus right there. I cried for 3 days. It was a wonderful experience. God saved this old boy. I'm telling you, and it changed my life. But you see, after I was on cloud nine, I had to come back to reality. And so a few days went by, and my girlfriend decides that she's going to marry a truck driver. The IRS comes and tells me that my taxes are not paid on time. And then on top of that, I owed so much money that I was having to borrow money to pay on the interest that I owed on. Now, I don't know about you folks, but that's a losing proposition. And so I'm sitting there in my office, in my shop, with my head in my hands, and I'm saying, God, I've only been saved a week, and now all this stuff is happening to me. Let me tell you, if any of you have just been saved or you got loved ones to get saved, watch out for them, would you? Stay close on them because the devil's going to try to get them back. He's going to try to discourage them. He's going to try to get them back where they were, and they're going to be twice as worse than they were before. But here's the thing. A friend of mine who led me to Christ, he said, Randy, you need to start tithing, and then you need to start giving above your tithes. And I did that in 6 months. I got myself out of debt. I found out there was money in my bank account. I completely forgot about it. I don't know where it came from. It was in there. Paid off my truck note. Paid off some other bills. And so God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I'm going to look at another verse of Scripture. Now, we become richer by being generous. The world says to hold on as much as possible. Hold on. Hold on. But God blesses those who give freely of their possessions, time, and energy. And when we give, God supplies us with more than we can give. So we can give more. Isn't that amazing? So there's a lot of us that's got seed that's in our pockets, or we got seed. Maybe it's an act. Maybe it's a gesture. Maybe there's someone who needs some help. Maybe somebody needs some encouragement. You sow that, and you're going to reap that. Proverbs 19:17 says this, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. It's not a bad deal, is it? You give to the poor? Now, we're talking about folks that have fallen on hard times, and I realize there's a lot of folks that's a ward of the state. Hey, if you don't have it, you got to get it somewhere. But there's a lot of people who are trying to... They just fallen on hard times. And those are the kind of people that God really cares about. He loves them. And when he sees that he moves on your heart and you go out there and you help that person, you're going to get repaid for it. Proverbs 28:27 said, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. He that gives to the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. I remember one time I was on a service call, and I had my brother-in-law, he was working with me at the time, and we were working on refrigerators. And so we went to this lady's house, and while we were there working on this refrigerator, it was dripping water on the floor. It didn't take very long to fix it. We're looking in this shotgun house, and in the next room there's this man all bandaged up with 80% of his body with burns. And he was moaning. He was hurting. And so we got this refrigerator fixed, and the lady said, "Well, how much do I owe you?" I said, "Well, it's $25 for coming out." That's what we were charging at the time. I want you to know that we stood there, and she said, "Well, wait here, I'll get you money." We stood there, and she went in the back room, and you could hear drawers opening and closing. You could hear cabinet doors. You could hear jars and cans shaking. I want to tell you the most pitiful sight I ever saw in my life. Here's this lady. She's got a handful of change with dollar bills hanging out of her hand, and she's going to pay that sucker. And when I looked at that, I said, tell you what, I want to thank you for calling us. If you need us for anything, we'll be glad to come back to help you. And thank you, and we left. About a week later, we get a phone call out in that same area, and there's a lady out there wanting to buy 4 central air units for her house. So I go out there, and I gave her she said she wanted a better unit, so I sold her the top of the line that we had available at the time. And so we worked our butts off getting that thing. And I mean, we worked so hard putting them 4 units in. And when we were sitting there at the table and she was writing out the check, she said, "Mr. Folks, I really appreciate doing business with you. We're so glad we got you to work for us because you came highly recommended by those folks down the road." And that was those people. And so I'm trying to tell you, folks, you cannot give God, and you cannot give what he directs you to do. Now, there's an interesting scripture in John 6. We won't read all of it, but it was when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, I believe it was. And it says, "And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, Whence buy ye bread and that these may eat? And this he said to prove them." Now, God's going to prove you every day. He's going to test you to see what you do. And so Jesus was testing them and trying to prove them. And then he was going to teach them something that they'll never forget. And so he says, "And for he himself knew what he would do. And so Philip answered and said, There's 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them could take a little. But one disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a land here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many people?" You know, it's kind of like, when we're looking at our finances, we got more month than we have money. What is that among so many bills? Well, it just depends on what you do with it. Now, sometimes you'd be surprised. You start tithing, it's an experiment. It really is. You don't have to just go overboard with it, but just start somewhere. You start doing it, and it starts coming back. You start sowing, and it starts coming back. And so here Jesus gets this, and Jesus said, "Make them sit down," and now there was much grass in the place. I don't know why it says that, but it seemed like to me to put that phrase in there was much grass in the place. Well, seem to indicate that there's plenty of pasture for God's people, and we're the sheep of his people. And so then he sat down in the numbers of about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them, and they sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Now I want you to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Now, I want you to hear that real good. He said, "I want you to gather up." Now, what this was uneaten portions that was taken up. Now, I don't know how Jesus did that. I don't think it's any kind of a magic trick. But I have seen some things that I just can't figure out. I haven't been able to do that yet. I'd like to see that done. But I have seen some mighty unusual things that happen in finances, at least. And it's miraculous, and it's wonderful. And so, but listen to this. He says, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. Now, why did he say that? I'll tell you why. Because he's concerned about that person getting back what they gave. So who got all those leftovers? It was that little boy. That's who it was. Now, he's coming home with all this food and baskets full of bread. And he said, Mama says, there's Jesus, and he did something wonderful today, and I brought my lunch, and this is what I got in return. Can you figure that out? And that's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. You can't figure it out. You're just going to have to leave that to God, because he's the one that does it. Now, I want to show you something in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. We talked a little bit about Old Testament. Let's talk about a little bit about the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 15. Now, this is Paul writing to the church. He's giving instructions to the church. We're seeing a lot of examples in here that God is interested in returning your investment. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about... Now, we can apply this to money. We can apply this to grace. We can apply this to kindness being extended back to you. Whatever kind of seed it is that you've sown, God's going to pay you back. He's going to work it out. And so he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, and wherefore you have noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. In other words, stinginess. Okay? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Let's stop right here. Now, he says, if you sow, you will reap. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap less. If you sow a little bit more, you're going to reap more. That's that simple, right? That's that simple. He says, and every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity. In other words, you don't have to go broke doing this. Just do it as it comes. Because you see, when you begin to prosper in the Lord, and he begins to see what you're doing with the seed that he gives you, he's just going to add more to you that you can go back and sow it again and get a bigger crop. Do you understand how that works? It's really, really simple. He says this. Now, he says, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves this. And he loves it for two reasons. He loves it because you're doing it, and he loves it because he wants to bless you back in return, so you can have an opportunity to do it again. Pretty simple, isn't it? And all this seems to say the same thing as we get into this. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. There it is right there. There's the payback. What kind of grace do you need? Well, I'll tell you what I need. I need a technician. I'm believing for a technician. And it's just going to blow Daniel's mind when that technician comes, because, you know, technicians are hard to come by this time of the year. There's all kind of weird things that I do that he's still trying to figure out. But we're having fun doing it. And God has been very, very gracious. So God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. This is what it's all about. It's to abound to good works. His righteousness remaineth forever. And now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, and being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, which causes us to give thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. And while the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after your exceedingly grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How many of you folks know Paul Tafoya? Okay, we've got a good family here. All right. I'm going to tell you how I got to that trip to Israel. My pastor came up to me and he had this nice brochure and he says, Randy, you're going to get a chance to go to Israel if you fill out this paperwork and come up with about $12,000. And I said, well, Pastor, I'd love to go. And it was, you know, during the Feast of Tabernacles, and we talked a little bit about that the last time I was here. I said, Pastor, I would love to go. I want to go, but I just don't have the money. I don't have the money. But I kept the brochure, and I even called to check to see a little bit about it and looked into it. But Sister Claudia called me. I don't know, I think it was around, August, September. I don't know exactly what it was. Last year she called. And she told me, says, Brother Randy, says, Paul Tafoya needs some financial help. He needs to see doctors. He's got some health issues that he needs to. He just needs a little financial support. I haven't seen Paul Tafoya in 20 years. And so she gave me his telephone number. And I called him up and I told him, I said, I don't think you can remember me, but I understand you have a need. And he told me what it was. I said, well, I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have a whole lot of money, but I'll send you what I have. And so my wife and I, we discussed it. We agreed on it. And we made out a check. And we put it in the mail at 3 o'clock that afternoon. Yes, sir. That's what we did. And then the next day, about that same time, about 3 o'clock, I'm coming in the shop, and my wife's got this big smile on her face. You would have thought that she put a coat hanger in there to keep it like that for a long time. I said, what's going on? She said, you know that BP oil spill money that we put in for 5 years ago? I said, yes. Well, they want to send us a check. And all we got to do is fill out this paperwork, and they're going to send us this nice check. And so it was so nice that we paid off our truck. We paid off our car. We got ourselves out of debt again. And we had some money left over to go to Israel. I'm trying to tell you, folks, I'm just trying to tell you, you've got to experiment with this. This is not science, but it's something that works. I can't figure it out. But all I can tell you is that God loves a cheerful giver. I remember a couple of years ago, I was eating at a Popeye's, and I was just sitting there, watching my, watching the people coming in, and there was this, real nice, beautiful black lady comes in, and she orders a meal, and she knew the lady that was working at the counter, and she took a little break, and he went over there and sat on the table, and she says, well, what are you doing? She says, well, I work here. I said, well, you need to take some time off and have some fun. She says, I can. I work 3 jobs just so I can support my kids. I'm overhearing this conversation. And it really got me. I said, my goodness, is this really real? And so after I finished my meal, the lady went back to work at the counter. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, I don't mean to be prying in or butting in or sticking my nose in your business, but I could not help overhearing. Is it true that you have 3 jobs to support your family? She says, yes, I have no husband, and I have to work 3 jobs to provide my kids. They're worth that to me. I'll do anything for them. I said, okay, I want to thank you for sharing that with me. I left. I went to church at prayer. Well, and after prayer, God dealt with me about this lady. So I made up a little gift card and put a sum of money in there, and I went over there to see this lady. Now, I'm telling you, folks, I'm not bragging on what I've done. I'm just doing what this book says. I just want to brag on what God has done. You understand? This is what God likes. This is God's business. And so I went to this lady. I said, ma'am, I just want to leave you this little gift and left it on the counter there. I said, look, this is something, a little something for your kids. I want you to have a good Christmas and have a good evening. I hope things go well for you. I don't know if I've ever saw the lady again. But the next day, the town of Ami calls and says, you got the job, the $25,000 job to put air conditioning in the community center over there. And so we had enough work to keep us busy for the rest of the winter, for at least a week or two. And so, you know, this kind of business sometimes brings in zero income when it's cold. I'm just telling you how it is. And all right, let's look at another verse of Scripture. Luke 6:38. He says, given it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure, the same amount of seed that you plant out there, that you meet, that you do, that you sow, withal it shall be measured to you again. Well, let me say something to you. When you sow a seed, do you expect to get one seed back? Absolutely not. Let me tell you, does a farmer, when he sows, is he expecting to get something back? It better. Well, you can expect God to do something in your life. Now, you don't tell God to do anything. He already knows what you're doing. He already has knows what you have need of even before you ask. But when you're doing this, he's going to bless you. And it's going to be usually more than what you sowed. I remember a preacher one time was telling me he was eating watermelon in the back door, yard of his house. And he just haphazardly, you know, was eating that delicious water. And he's spitting seeds out over here and over there. And about 3 months later, he's got watermelons growing up in the backyard of his house. Vines everywhere. Well, if you sowed it, you growed it. And he didn't realize that it was, you know, and it, the seeds, which were probably about 10 or 15 of them, you know, he just didn't realize he was going to have a watermelon patch back there in his backyard. It's crazy. And he made a good illustration out of it. Now, Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I know a lot of folks look at that scripture. They've heard it. Oh, that sounds bad. You know, I've lived a bad life, and I'm going to reap everything. You know, that's that kind of fear, but that doesn't mean that thing. It simply means, that, you know, it can work that way, but it can also work in a positive way. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. If you sow bad things, if you sow hatred, if you sow discord among the brethren, let me tell you, it's going to come back to haunt you. I want to just say this to you. We had one of the greatest challenges that we've had in our church is the praise and worship. I mean, the devil likes to get in there and stir things up and cause division. And let me tell you, if the devil wins over discouraging the praise and worship leader, then the presence of God doesn't come and the preacher can't preach and people can't get ministered to. That's what he's after. Psalms 112:9, he says, he that is dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted. I remember one time there was this lady that she was one of these very, I don't know what you want to call it, she wasn't financially blessed. But she just didn't have, you know, a whole lot of things. But she always had what she needed. And she was content with that. But this is what she was doing. She was sowing kind acts. She would do things that would just be out of the ordinary and just out of nowhere. Here she is blessing somebody with a kind word. Maybe she'd send them a card. Maybe she'd send them some flowers. Just off the wall stuff. But she always had things coming to her, and she never did without. There was a man that who was an elder in a church that I previously served in, and he had a problem. And the problem was he was having to drive 80 miles one way twice a day to go to work in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he lived in Bochita, Mississippi. And the problem was is that his car was wearing out. And he didn't have the money to afford another car so he could go to work. So he began to pray about it, and the Lord dealt with him. And he says, you know what? Why don't you tithe on what you'd like to make? Yes, sir. Tithe on what you'd like to make. So what he did, he increased his giving on what he would like to make to where he could afford to buy a new car. So he did this for about 2 or 3 months. And one day his boss called him into the office. He says, you have been an outstanding example to our company, and we want to provide you a company car to go to and fro to work, and we want to pay for the gas to get you to and fro to work, and we want to give you a pay raise. And it was more than what he was tithing on. Folks, I got to tell you, you cannot outgive God. Is this getting boring to anybody in here? Because I can shut this thing down right now if you want me to. All right. There's a few more scriptures here, and then I'm going to give you, if anybody wants a prayer or anything like that, we'll pray for you and ask God's blessing upon you if you want that. It says in Proverbs 11, verse 18, it says, the wicked worketh deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. And folks, the Bible's full of stuff like this. The outcome is the same. It's going to be in the black for you. It's going to be in the plus for you. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he has given will he repay again. Proverbs 25:21, verses 22 says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. But thou shalt keep coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. I never will forget one time I was on this service call, and the man was very just abrupt. It's about time you showed up. I've been burning up all day, and you should have been here 3 or 4 hours ago. I said, well, sir, I'm sorry about that. It's been an overwhelming day. Well, I don't have time to hear that. I mean, he was unreasonable. He was mean. He was aggravated. And so I went into his house and worked on his air conditioner. And he said, and I got it going for him. Then he started kind of having a halfway crack of smile on his face. But when I gave him the bill, that little smile on his face went, he said, what? I can't believe you're charging me $45 for this. And so he just grumbled and grumbled and grumbled, and I'm thinking, God, what can I do with this man? What do you want me to do with him? And so I went to my truck, and I just happened to find a paperback New Testament Bible. I grabbed that Bible, and I went up there, and I held it up to that man, and he was looking at it, you know, and he didn't know what it was at first. I said, and then he says, what are you trying to sell me now? I said, sir, I want to give this to you. And he looked at it, and he jumped back like that. He says, why, that's a Bible. I said, yes, sir, it sure is. I said, if you read this book, it'll change your life. That's all I said to him. That's it. I never saw him again. And 2 years later, we had a flood, like kind of similar to the one that we had here last week. And this lady's house flooded, and the insurance company called us and said, we need you to go over here and check these appliances out and give us an estimate on how much it's going to cost to repair or replace these appliances. I said, okay. So we went over there, and there was this elderly lady there, and she says, I went to work and checked everything, and she says, Mr. Folks, you don't know me, but you knew my husband. And so she began to explain herself. I said, well, and then she began to say, you know, you gave my husband that Bible. And Mr. Folks, I want you to know that he read that Bible you gave him. And when he got really sick, he couldn't read it anymore. He'd have me read it to him. Mr. Folks, I just want to let you know that he got saved and baptized before he died. And I thank you for it. So, folks, I don't care what it is. If you're sowing the Word of God, if you're sowing kind acts, if you're sowing. And let me tell you something. If you really want to touch the heart of God, sow into missions. And God will bless. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the just. Now, I haven't been able to see that work yet. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe, you know, we might have a big turnaround here. People talking about the gloom and doom about the economy. Well, God's word says that if you're a good man, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's waiting for us out there. And God can turn that thing around and give it to those he wants to bless with it, because it's all his anyway. Ecclesiastes 11:1-2. Cast thy bread upon the waters. You've heard that before, right? For thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon the earth. Now, let me give you the New Living Translation about it. It says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest whether what shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So in other words, if you're sowing your seed in different directions, you might get a bum crop. But then they all might come in good. The thing is, you got to sow it. Now, I wish I knew where I could sow seed to where I could get that 100-fold, because Jesus talked about the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and 100-fold. But I'll take the 30-fold if that's all I can get, because there's a whole lot more than what I sowed. I'm just saying that's a good principle. He says in Ecclesiastes 11:6, again, he says, be sure to stay busy and plant a variety of crops, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps they all will. Amen. And so, folks, I just want to tell you, that's all I want to share with you tonight. I'm just not, I'm not a rich, wealthy man, but I tell you what, God is blessed. I look at myself, I said, God, I know I don't deserve a thing. Now, the devil's going to come along and tell you that. You don't deserve a thing. And you know what? He's right. But God wants to do it anyway. So you understand that there's always going to be this sense of unworthiness. But God is going to do it anyway if you do what this word says. That's just real simple. I'll tell you something else that we're seeing. In earlier years, and this is completely off the subject, but I just want to leave this with you. In earlier years, there were people that were so excited about the Word of God, you could burn up a pot of coffee two or three times, sitting at a table, reading God's promises, discussing the Word of God, and nothing could be better than that. And you know what? When you've got a bunch of guys in there talking about the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes and starts to bless that Word, and then they leave and go out there and find that it's so, because they were sowing this Word of God into each other. Like this brother told me about sowing and reaping and paying my tithes. If he hadn't told me that, I wouldn't be up here talking to you about all this stuff. So I'm just like let you know that this is a great blessing to you. And all we have to do is follow the instructions. Amen? Amen. I want to thank you for allowing me to come tonight. We love you. We're looking forward to coming and seeing again. I want to ask your permission. If it's all right, we've already been discussing. Sister Claudia, we've been talking behind your back. I just might as well just give in and tell you what it's all about. I want to ask y'all's permission if y'all could let us have her for about 3 or 4 days. Okay? And we're going to minister to you. You're going to get a little bit of R&R. You're going to get refreshed. You don't have to worry about anything. Take a vacation, and you're coming to see us, and Sister Martha wants to see you. And so now we're not talking about next year. We're not talking about, 3 months from now. We're talking about in the next week or two. All up. Yep. Does everybody say amen on that? Be there or be square. That's for you, and you're coming. And now, can you drive that far? I want to know if you can. You drive that far?
My car can drive that far.
All right. Okay.
I'll talk to my dad.
Okay.
Oh, don't drive me. I'll talk to my dad.
Does anybody need prayer before we close out tonight? Anybody want prayer? Father, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. It does not belong to the body of Christ. Does it belong to this man's body?
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And Father God, we were discussing today your business. Tonight we want to see these blessings work in this man's life.
Yes, Lord.
And so, God, I'm asking you, Lord God, to provide that car, as your word says, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we're expecting this to be answered, God, because you're a faithful, loving, caring God. In Jesus' name. I want to share a little something with you. My wife, 3 months ago, well, actually it's about maybe 4 months ago, I thought I was going to lose my wife. And she had extremely very heavy sinus problems. She would have throat problems, and she would cough. She'd get up in the middle of the night and just continuously cough and cough and cough and cough and cough. At times it looked like she was coughing up blood, and then she would start to throw up. And then what happened was she started getting acid reflux in her lungs. And so the doctors misdiagnosed what was really the problem. And so this is what we did, brother. Now, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And God, you know, he hears your prayers. But, you know, sometimes you got to have a lot of people praying. You know what I did? I got mad at the devil. I called every church I could think of in the state of Louisiana, every pastor that I knew was a faith-walking pastor, friends, family, other churches. This is what I did. And she was scheduled for surgery. Mm-hmm. And 3 weeks later, God just turned the whole thing around, and she's miraculously healed.
Amen.
And so, brother, this might be something, a spiritual warfare, that you may need to have more people agreeing with you and praying with you. We're going to be praying with you. When I go back home, I'm going to tell my church about you.
Amen.
And we're going to be lifting you up in prayer.
Thank you.
I'm going to call some other churches on your behalf, lifting you up in prayer, because this is something that it's defeated.
Amen.
And the devil just doesn't like it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you, brother. Anybody else need some prayer? Tell you that plays the drums, come over here. I want to talk to you just a little bit. Amen. You know, I know that you, you know, you like it. Looks like you're pretty good on that guitar. But I do know this, that you guys, God wants to, he wants to take it up another notch, okay? He wants y'all jamming. Now, in a church where you have young and old, it's the most beautiful thing there is, okay? It is. It's the most beautiful thing, because Scripture tells us that he wants the old and the young together. He wants to turn the fathers to the sons, the sons to the fathers. Because now, I can't run and jump like I used to. I still got a few moves, but I'm just not as quick. Daniel can tell you that. But the thing about it is, there's a lot of things that old people, and I say the older I get, the more precious I become. To save you guys going out and making mistakes that we did, and seeing things that other people made mistakes, and we learn from that, and that wisdom is passed down to you that you can prosper for that. So I just want to encourage you guys, you brothers, to submit to your elder brothers, your pastor, and older people. And when you respect them and you love them, God's going to do great things for you. Amen? And your music's going to improve. Don't get discouraged about it. We went to a place called Ruach in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Ruach. We rocked out for about maybe 3 days. They had some of the best speakers. Some of the great gospel singers, the Minions. Binions, not Minions. Binions. And man, I tell you what, I got their CDs. I play it all the time. Amen. And it's good for you. So God's going to take your music up and step it up a notch. Because what you do is one of the most important things before the man of God gets up there, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord God, to anoint these young men, Lord, to bless them in what they're attempting to do. And devil, we bind you against your works. You will have no part. You will not interfere with the praise and worship that is so precious to you. God, we realize that unless you're ministered to, your presence cannot come. Therefore, God, bless these young men. Bless their ministries, Father. And Lord, increase their ministry, anoint them, give them new songs to sing that have words to say, that praises you to a higher praise, that people will be drawn closer to you, and that souls will get saved in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brothers. I appreciate y'all. It's y'all's turn now. I want to talk to y'all. I just want to pray with y'all just a little bit, okay? And everybody can agree with this, all right? Everybody can agree with this. Okay. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, we only had about maybe 2 minutes to talk before we got here. Amen. This is what I see for you, okay? Holy Spirit's saying you're at a point of burnout. And you need some refreshing. So we're going to encourage you to do the same thing that Sister Claudia is going to do. Can you let these folks go for a few days? We want to minister to them. Amen. Yeah. Just for, and we'll give them back to you. And what you get back, you're going to have a whole lot more than what you got now, okay? But, brother, there's just some things that, you know, you've been sowing in the ministry for many years now. You have sown. We've talked about this tonight. And it seems like you're not pulling back anything. You're not reaping anything. It seems like you go out there and it just you're coming back empty. That's not what God intended for you. All those seeds that were sown, even from the very earliest part of your ministry. You know, sometimes it takes a generation for an oak tree to grow. You can sow corn or beans and get it in season. But there's some things that, like that mustard seed, when you sow it, It becomes a very big tree that birds can sit in it, nest in it. And it takes time for those kind of seeds because souls are very precious. You may find some folks that you have ministered to 20 years ago and they're going to come right down here and sit in your church and say, you know what you told me 20 years ago just didn't make sense. And I didn't listen to you and I'm here because I need your help. And it just seems like the load is just too much to carry. And it's the more mundane, right, sister? Mm-hmm. You're looking at yourself, Warren, how long is this going to go on? It's just another day of the same toil and the same things. Well, God wants to give you some refreshing, okay? And he wants to give you all some encouragement, okay? Sometimes you have to separate yourself from your present company. Not that they're bad company. It's just that you need a different look. And come back refreshed. Amen. And God likes to get your attention. Sometimes he might even have to set you down. He might even allow you to get sick so you can see things his way. Okay? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for this precious couple. I'm asking you, Lord God, that you give your angels charge over them and that your ministering spirits will be upon them, God. Lord, encouraging them, speaking words of kindness, speaking words of wisdom, speaking words of encouragement to them, Father, that they could be strong against all opposition. And sometimes the field seems like it's dead and not reaping anything. I'm asking you, God, in Jesus' name, let them know that their labors and their faithfulness to you has not been in vain. God, I'm asking you, Lord God, to make increase of their ministry, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you will allow people to come in, the ministries of helps, ministries of ministries, ministry of ministering Sunday school classes. Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, for more praise and worship leaders. I'm asking you, Lord, for more excitement. I'm asking you for more anointing that breaks yokes off people. I'm asking you, Lord God, for discernment and for wisdom. And, Lord, for the anointing that Lord, when this man of God gets up and speak, he'll speak like a man from another world. I'm asking you, God, to do it now in Jesus' name. And, God, that this prayer, where two or three, as we stand here, where two or three agree as touching anything, it shall be done of our Father, which is in heaven. So God, I thank you Lord, I thank you that you're up to something good. I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're going to do great and mighty things in these last days. And God, that you're not going to withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. I bless you.
Amen.
Does anybody else want prayer? I'm gonna turn this back over to the pastor.
Make sure everything that just Franklin and Paul have been trying for years to get me to come to church, and I finally broke down and started coming. So obviously they got a reason.
Yeah. Okay. So it's already working, isn't it? All right. Let's agree in front. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this sister, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you are so, that you have so much loving kindness and tender mercies to show everyone here, and especially this dear one here. And she's at your throne of grace asking you, God, to take over now. And so, Father, I'm asking you, Father, to bless her. Bless her. Let me pray for you some more. Up, let's see. A lot of things are not working out. A lot of answers that you're looking for. The Holy Spirit is just simply saying, this is what you need to do. You get up in the morning and you talk to him first. Now take your shower, take your bath, get yourself all dressed up, okay? And you spend some time talking to God. That's what I do. And I'm going to get you to do something really weird, okay? I want you to get some anointing oil. And I want you to anoint your head with oil right here. So God, when you're standing in the mirror, you're anointing your head with oil. Now, I know Daniel's trying to figure this kind of stuff out. He's still trying to figure it out. But look, when I face my day and I know it's bigger than me, and I know that I got more stuff I know I cannot do, I said, God, this is another one of your days. I'm going to give back to you because I don't want to carry it. Let me tell you, the devil sits at night while you toss and turn. And he's reminding you of things. Let me tell you what's going on. And that's a spiritual warfare that's going on by a principality. And you can study that in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, a principality is one of the weakest of the rank in spiritual warfare. They're lying spirits. They come to you. They remind you of your past. They remind you of things that you need to do that you don't need to have done. They get you on rabbit trails that don't go anywhere and distract you so much to the point that you can't stay focused on what God wants you to do. And so God wants to break that off to you tonight. He wants you to put him first. And when you do that and you anoint yourself with oil, because I do that every day. Let me tell you something, sister. It works. You're asking God, and he says, Lord, I'm anointing myself. That's scripture. You can read that. Anoint yourself with oil. Anoint my head with oil. I'm going to ask every one of you here to try this. Because what you're doing, you're anointing yourself for that day. It don't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what the devil's up to. God has got you by the hand. And here's something else that he wants you to do. He wants you to tell people about what he's doing in your life. Brag on the God you serve. Brag on the God you serve. And there's going to be people that's hurting just like you've been hurting. And they're not going to hurt no more. Some of them are going to be your good friends. And some of them are just going to go away and help tell other people. But put God first. Talk to him in the morning. Read. If you don't know where to start, start in the book of Proverbs. And let that minister to you. There's so much wisdom in those books. There's so much wisdom. It takes a lifetime to live it out, just in that book. One of my favorites is Proverbs chapter 8, 9, and 10. You read that, and God is going to prepare you for better things. Keep your head up. Keep your chin up. Talk to God. He wants to talk to you. What I recommend you do is greet him in the morning. Say, Lord, I'm here. I love you this morning. And pray, and then just be quiet. And let him talk to you, okay? You get yourself ready to go to work or wherever you're going. You get in that bathroom and you find that bottle of oil and you anoint yourself with oil and you look at yourself in the mirror and you smile back and say, Lord, I'm anointing myself for the day. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Because I can't do it. You're going to do it. And that's how you're going to get by. Amen. It's good to see that smile on your face. You're going to be all right. Do that. God bless you. Okay, Pastor. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Anybody else need prayer? I know there's a couple folks in here that almost stepped out. I ain't going to call you out. but you know what? If you want to, you know, why don't you just come on up here and get prayer? Brother Randy ain't got nowhere to go. Brother Westmoreland ain't got nowhere to go for a minute, right? Right. Nobody wants to go back to a motel room and sleep after a hard day's work. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, were you guys blessed tonight? Now we're going to hear from Brother Westmoreland. You going to sing that song?
Sure.
Come on. I'm goofing a lot with Brother Westmoreland. He's my buddy. Any old hoot and holler, let's close in prayer. Father God, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for blessing these two awesome individuals who gave of their time and came all the way over here to Florida to bless Sister Claudia and to bless this church. Thank you that you're going to continue to add on to them. And we just ask you right now, Lord God, to send by divine appointment, just send that individual, that perfect guy that's ready to work really, really hard, work really, really hard for Brother Folks, Lord Jesus. Send in that perfect person and do it in your perfect time, Lord God. But if it's all the same, we just ask that you do it right as soon as possible. We love you, Jesus. Bless this church. Bless its congregation. Thank you that we are a giving church, that we're going to step out there and continue to be what you've called us to be and continue to be givers, Lord Jesus. Bless the services this weekend, and we love you and praise you. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Hey, church starts at 10:30 this Sunday morning. Don't forget that. Church starts at 10:30 this Sunday morning. And we got another special preacher coming all the way from Georgia. Brother Scott Murphy is going to be here, so you don't want to miss that. God bless.